home. It is where we go for the holidays, where we turn for comfort, and where our hearts are. We get homesick. We fear homelessness. But what does it mean to feel at home? How does a house become a home? How did feeling at home come to be so important to us being human? In his new book, Home, How Habitat Made Us Human, neuroanthropologist John Allen argues that to feel at home is more than just an expression, it is part of our evolutionary heritage. Again, the name of the book is Home, How Habitat Made Us Human, and we welcome John Allen to the program. Good morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you. What brought you to this particular subject?
Well, I'm sort of interested in general in what makes people sort of more similar to each other as a species, what characterizes us. And if we look back over time, we can see things like spoken language and how we deal with food and how we develop ideas about how we should eat. And I think actually what we see as a common unit in all cultures is the household, the home. And when you read about how people talk about where they live, you see this sort of sense of a feeling for home that emerges no matter what the structure is. We live in all sorts of different buildings, but if we look at home from the inside out, and in this way I'm looking at it from our brain and behavior out, it becomes more similar and universal. So I was really interested in looking at how that came to be.
It seems, and I've always heard this, that moving is one of the most difficult things that we can do in our lives. And I assume it's because of just that. It's so difficult to make that place into a new home.
Yeah, it is. Some researchers who study it study homesickness, and there aren't that many psychologists who do it, but some of them have compared it to grieving, and they've called it even a mini grief. And when you grieve for something, you grieve for a person, you're having an emotional negative response to the loss of a significant relationship, a significant part of your life. And so when you go someplace new, a new home, and you're homesick, that is a grieving for the loss of your relationship with a place. Now, luckily, for most of us, we can rebuild that relationship in a new place. We can bring things with us. We bring people. The relationships with people and things can also be carried. But also we have this ability that we probably pick up, hopefully, while we're growing up, to reestablish a home and reestablish the relationship and then move on and stop grieving.
You go into great detail in the book, and it really is fascinating about understanding the evolutionary and cognitive basis of feeling at home and the light that it sheds on things like how complicated it is to feel toward a home, especially when you're paying so much for it. And also what has happened in that home if you have a disruptive home life as a child.
Right. As I said, I think that when we see things like the difficulty that children who've been in sort of revolving door foster care or have otherwise had a really disruptive home life while they're growing up, that sort of feeling and sort of disruption and unsettledness can extend into life because they may not really learn how to ever feel at home. And the flip side of that, where home has served you well, it can convey this sense of comfort and security that in the economic world of today, where houses are a commodity and you borrow money and you pay them back and it becomes, in some cases, an investment for speculation, that security that home gives us on the inside can actually kind of amplify your confidence. And so you may not perceive the financial risks you have for your house because it's your home as well.
When you look at that up close and think about the power of the home and that feeling, is how much do we separately bring to it? And I know you're right about this. I mean, how much of it is in us innately, and how much of it is adapting to an environment that we find, for lack of a better word, comfortable?
I think it's both, and that's one thing I'd like to, you know, make clear. I think we have this ability to feel at home. We have these feelings that go along with the sense of rest and restoration and the desire for that, and that's comfortable, and we need to do that. On the other hand, we have this culture that builds houses and homes and environments around us, And I think when you combine those two, as has happened for people like, you know, human beings in our evolutionary past, the combination of those two is really an adaptive thing. Now, it's adaptive, and I also say, though, it's a little bit of a perceptual trick, right? We feel comfortable, secure in this place, and in some places it can be a relatively flimsy protection against the environment. It's not really a protection against, you know, over time, over against diseases or tornadoes or bad, extremely bad weather, or even your enemies who might come in, or a large predator. But having that sense of security helps us rest and helps us recover, and that's probably been very important for ourselves as a species, because, well, looking at sleep sort of data, that people need to have good sleep. We have these large brains that are restored during sleep. And so all that kind of combines, both in a biological and a cultural way, to make home an adaptive place.
Actually, I was trying to think of a way to ask this question, and then you bringing up sleep gave me a way to I think, ask it, which is, We know how much sleep we should have. We're told we should have at least 8 hours, and Yet very few of us actually do that. We know we feel comfortable at home. We like home. And yet, because of our day-to-day busy lives, it's difficult to actually spend time at home.
It is. And even and today, more than ever, the outside world intrudes electronically into the home. Right? And so where your place of rest is really not a place that is separate. We actually don't think maybe we need to think harder about enforcing that separation. And that's what a lot of sort of basic sleep hygiene advice is get rid of the electronics, turn them off at a certain time, so that they're not there all the time. You know, there are other ways to improve your sleep hygiene, but in terms of that connectedness to the outer world, I think home is a place where you're supposed to become disconnected from the outer world. And so we should be wary of that if we're trying to rest.
So how do we more appreciate and get to the inner world of what is happening within the confines of those four walls?
I think people will have to do that in different ways, because one is this sort of, I have to say, this is my space, no matter what it is, and I'm not going to let distractions intrude. But we also see, you know, there's this whole tiny house movement, right, where people are literally getting rid of the space. The space, I think this is a sort of implicit recognition that that extra space is a distraction from having this home feeling that should be positive. It isn't necessarily going to be an overjoy of happiness home. Home isn't like that. The emotions we have for home are much quieter. You also see this sort of tidy house idea, right, that you get rid of all the stuff you have.
Right.
And again, that's a recognition that there is some core there of home, hominess, that can be enhanced, and for some reason our world isn't doing that. And so I think in different ways, some people, it may be the relationships you have within the home and so on, but there'd be different ways for different people. But to get at this idea, this awareness and insight into that, home should be doing these things for you. It should be doing more than as a place to store money for the future, or as a place just to keep the rain off your head or to keep warm. It should be making you feel better and restored and able to deal with the world that's outside the home better.
As you say, there are different ways for different people. So you applaud movements like the tiny house movement if it works for you.
Yeah, if it works for you. I mean, the other thing about tiny houses, of course, is it isn't one of the important things about home, though, over time, is the relationships with other people. If your house gets too tiny, there aren't going to be other people in the house. It's not going to serve other relationships that well, necessarily. You know, or the more extended relationships that we'd see in other cultures, less so in ours, where we think in terms of nuclear families and very sort of tight family units. But in a lot of cultures, the home, the household, is more expansive. And that sort of reflects the house, the home base initially probably, as a place for social interaction, for cooperatively and collectively raising children, and as that kind of unit. So if you get too tiny, you know, you're making a trade-off there, and that's true of anything you're going to do in life. You're going to have trade-offs.
You also explore, and we mentioned this, you also explore homesickness, and you say it has a value. How so?
Well, like any sort of mourning of loss, it tells you that something was significant. And so just that recognition of the loss, which can happen below the conscious level, right? You feel bad. You don't even have to think about it. You feel that sense of loss. It makes you think about what's gone away and what you've lost. Now, also, that sort of thing also makes you think about where you are. I don't have a home. I'm at risk. So that also slows you down and makes you think, well, I should have one, that's something that's giving me protection and so on. So I think in the homesickness aspect, though, is to be aware that it's a significant relation. That's a signal that it's a significant relationship.
I was thinking of people who have, and we have been hearing this a lot with the Powerball at $1 billion mm-hmm. dollars or whatever it is,
yeah.
People talking about having multiple homes. Does it matter?
If you have multiple
If you have
homes
more than one?
I think you can, I think, when people say in our culture that they feel at home at work, right, they have that kind of relationship and
yep.
they feel at home at home. I think that just shows our capacity for forming that relationship with place and people and things that are there. It wouldn't necessarily have characterized lots of other cultures, traditional cultures or even pre-traditional cultures, because home and work separation is a kind of novel thing in terms of, the modern world. So I think, I think people can have more than one home. I think if you go around and you have lots of houses and when you go to them and it's empty and you have no memories there and you have no relationships associated with it, then it is just a building then.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a hotel. And so I think there's maybe having a bunch of houses in the world can be kind of turned into a grander version of I got too much space and I want to have a tiny house. Then maybe it wouldn't necessarily make you any happier.
Ultimately, what do you hope people get out of the book?
I hope they do understand that home's important, and everyone already understands that, right? There's no place like home. But I think, why is that important? And I go into the evolutionary story a bit, and that this is probably pretty fundamental to not necessarily making us who we are, not to making us actually who we are, but helping to make us who we are. And it's probably a fairly fundamental thing. It's a basic unit of humanity. We're not wasps, right? I talk about organ pipe wasps. We don't have a one-to-one correspondence between our specieshood and building a certain kind of structure. We're not duplex apes, but we have this capacity to build because we are tool users and tool makers. But inside all that stuff is this feeling, this cognitive feeling, which comes from the inside out, and that's a feeling for home.
John Allen is a neuroanthropologist and author of the new book, Home, How Habitat Made Us Human. It is published by Basic Books. John Allen, a great pleasure having you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you. No problem.
Again, the title of the book is Home, How Habitat Made Us Human, published by Basic Books. John Allen is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.